Green Divas and Green Dudes come in many shades of green. Here to help you discover and celebrate your personal shade of green are hosts Green Diva Meg and Maxine Margot, veteran radio chicks who share important news about climate change and the plight of human existence, but somehow manage to make most of it fun and sexy using at least 50 shades of green. Well, hey there, and welcome to another fabulous episode of 50 Shades of Green Divas.
Fabulous.
Fab.
Fab.
I'm Green Diva Meg.
Green Diva Max.
And we're here to talk about one aspect of the state of our oceans. And this episode's going to focus on the state of plastic in our oceans. Because, yes, people, there's too much plastic.
Right. We know the famous line out of The Graduate where he said, you know, plastics. But now there's a new phrase, microplastics.
Yeah. So
pretty crazy to see where this stuff ends up.
You don't want to eat that stuff.
No.
So there's like a million reasons why we need to all pay attention. So we're hoping to bring you some information that's helpful and practical.
Right.
Useful.
Useful is fun.
Mm-hmm.
Useful is important, mm-hmm. actually. You can be useful and have fun. So let's see if we can.
Well, we manage to do it most of the time.
We do.
I don't know. How useful am I? I don't know.
You're pretty useful.
I don't know.
I'm pretty useless, so it's okay. These days, anyway.
Oh, no. So, social media people, we'd love to interact with you out there. So please check us out on Twitter, 50 Shades of GDS, and the many Shades of Green. It's TM Shades of
Green. At TM Shades of Green.
And at The Green Divas, at Green Diva Meg. And these are all applicable to Instagram mostly.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
Facebook, of course. And ultimately, you can just find out all kinds of things, including our social media handles, at our website, thegreendivas.com.
Right.
Ta-da!
It's a good place to land, and you will find out fun facts and important facts. So go.
Do it.
Do it.
You know how Max likes to come up with her fun science facts?
Yes.
Well, this one is kind of sad. And I understand why. The more that we get into this episode and the research we've done for it and talking to the folks that we've talked about. But fish depression, it's a thing?
It really is a thing. We had spoken about Tish the goldfish, mm-hmm. you know, who lived very long, and one wonders how that happened. I would imagine after, you know, looking at this article, which was recently, very recently in the New York Times, it says fish depression is not a joke, that Tish's owner must have done things to help Tish get not bored. And
Tish was not depressed.
No, because it wouldn't have lived 40-plus years and then get buried in a yogurt can. But it
oh,
is
the humble end of Tish.
It is a thing, and that's something that people didn't realize.
So for this episode, we've drawn on some of our past. Both of us have done lots of interviews, and we have a couple of really interesting folks that are talking about relevant issues to plastic in our oceans and the well-being of our oceans. But one of the more recent things that we've done is we've had a chance to speak with Dune Ives of Lonely Whale. Also, we have a really cool new glass straw coming out. A Green Diva is literally designed for the Green Divas. What are we calling it? The GD glass straw.
I put out some other things. I said straw cyclers, but you know, it's cute, but it kind of didn't get to the top of the heap. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can name it. Maybe you guys can help us out there by going
there
to social media and telling us what you think the name should be.
Yeah, what should we name our straw?
You know, right?
And you're going to be able to buy it for not that much money, and it's by the end of this show, you're going to want to have a glass straw or two or three
mm-hmm.
in your arsenal.
Absolutely.
So let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to launch into all this cool information. Stay tuned.
Do you suffer from allergies and chemical sensitivity? Then it's time to incorporate the EnviroClean system. Utilizing patented technology, the EnviroClean system safely and effectively neutralizes toxins without leaving behind harmful VOCs. From the solid and upholstered surfaces that surround us, to the clothes we wear, to the very air we breathe, EnviroCleanse provides personal environment protection for everyone. Use code GREENDIVAS to get 20% off site-wide at EnviroKlenz.com.
Okay, so let's talk about marine litter and the plastic pollution that is getting terrifyingly big out there. These gyres are growing. We're getting dead spots, dead coral everywhere, dying.
Coral reefs are not happy. And if you look at pictures of a before and after of what's happening, you see this vibrant coral reef, which has beautiful life and colors. And then you see this gray coral reef, which is dying. And you go, what are we doing?
Yeah.
And it's affecting marine life. It's affecting everything.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, there's so many levels to it. We're all connected there. So you came up with some really interesting and terrifying statistics. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I always love to find terrifying. Yes, it's the fear. It's the fear, I tell you, the fear. There's always articles about everything you want. And I came across this article. It was a Time Magazine science article. It was back February of 2015 by Alexandra Sifferlin, and it had some, you know, very interesting and scary stats. First off, 8 million metric tons of plastic end up in our oceans, and if we don't act, it's going to be tenfold, according to the Journal of Science quoted in there. 5 to 13 million metric tons of plastic made it to our oceans in 2010, and it's constantly still coming up. And it comes from people who live near, it can be over 30 miles from the coast in addition to being on the coast. 30 miles.
Right, right. It's not just people,
Right. So you're throwing your plastic garbage out and it's going to wind up in the ocean even if you're 30 miles away because it gets into the water system.
Well, there are crazy statistics about how stuff ends up in the ocean unintentionally. Garbage from inland and wherever.
Right, and scarily. By 2025, the annual cumulative output of plastic in the world oceans will be 155 million metric tons. This is from from Jenna Jambach, who's an environmental engineer at the University of Georgia.
I can't even wrap my head around that number. It's just too big. Right?
It's beyond too big.
It's beyond.
And what's happening to plastic at this point, and we talked about, you know, we mentioned microplastics. It's becoming a fossil all by itself.
Oh, this is the WTF moment of the day.
Right.
This is our WTF for this episode.
Right. So,
and you know what I mean when I say
WTF. You know what WTF means. I won't say it on the air right now, but you guys know what we're talking about.
You know
about.
What we mean.
You know what the means. Woohoo. So Canadian scientists have announced the discovery of a new type of rock made from scraps of melted plastic waste and ocean debris. Yes, people, we have been doing this for quite a while. According to researchers at the University of Western Ontario, and I'm wearing socks that say, Oh, Canada, today, this new material, to get serious, known as plastic glomerate, is formed when melted plastic waste on beaches mixes with sediment, lava fragments, and organic debris. These virtually indestructible plastic glomerates may become part of the Earth's geological record forever. And one could act as a sad geological marker for humanity's impact on the planet. This came from an article in Habitat by Colin Payne in 2014. But think about it. The plastic is becoming literally, not only is it becoming, you know, dangerous and it's killing marine life and fish, it's winding up in our fish, but it's now going to be its own fossil, a geological fossil. It'll be plasticized rocks.
So in 1,000 years from now, when they're looking back, doing their archaeologists of the future,
right,
will be looking back and going, oh, that was the era of plastics.
Right, and that was the era of people having their heads up, you know where.
Humans were messy.
Humans are and will
greedy,
always
be. Greedy,
thoughtless,
and messy.
Greedy, thoughtless, and messy. But there are some really cool people out there, too.
I know, that's true. I hope that, you know, the good parts come through.
Somehow. Huh? Well, we can only get lucky.
Well, you know, getting lucky is a whole nother issue.
You want to get lucky tonight? Hope your fish doesn't have plastic when you order it for dinner.
Oh, my God. So we got a chance to speak with Dune Ives from Lonely Whale.
Dune is the executive director of the Lonely Whale Foundation. She has a long history of being a change agent and leader in ocean conservation initiatives. She worked on many other programs as well, including Global Finprint and Smart Catch. She's like fishy stuff. And Dune is also the co-founder of the Green Sports Alliance and an inaugural member of Al Gore's The Climate Reality Project.
Another cool climate reality person.
Right. We've had several on, and they're doing great work. And Dune is doing great work.
So let's hear her talk a bit about Lonely Whale.
Well, it's really nice to be on the show, first and foremost. Thank you for having me. Lonely Whale was founded just about 2 years ago by Adrien Grenier, who is most notable for his role in Entourage as Vinny Chase, and his producing partner and friend, Lucy Sumner. And their goal with starting Lonely Whale was to change the way that we really think about how to communicate with everyday people about the state of our ocean and do so in a way that really binds them to the ocean. You know, the ocean for most of us is really far away. It's far away. It's inaccessible. Most of us have never actually been in the water or have spent much time on the water. And yet when we look at it, it gives us so much. It gives us replenishment. It gives us nourishment, a sense of hope and beauty. And it looks great, doesn't it? Because it's blue. Mm-hmm. So how could anything be wrong with the ocean? So Lonely Whale was established to think differently about how we communicate and also think differently about how we work with each other. There's one stat I heard is that there are more than 25,000 ocean health organizations globally. And I can say from experience that it's really hard to work with other organizations because everyone is competing for time and resources and interests. So we have a principle of radical collaboration where we really focus on being an incubator of good ideas, but doing so in a way that helps us collaborate with other organizations at the same time. So that's our team, and really what our mission is to bring people closer to the world's ocean.
Stop sucking, people! Yeah, there's something about that.
Yeah, I know. It's a great campaign that the Lonely Whale Foundation is putting forth now.
It's brilliant. It's clever. It's catchy.
It's kitschy.
It's so, like, I just want to scream from a rooftop, stop sucking people. When you learn about the statistics, which you are about to, you will be mind blown and you will want to start remembering to get your glass straw.
Focus at the Lonely Whale Foundation really started about a year and a half ago when we took a look at all of the ocean health issues out there. So how can you create a bond with the ocean through the lens of one of these issues? And most of the issues, for the most part, are really hard to understand and get your arms wrapped around. So when you think about things like seismic blasting or slavery on the high seas, it's very difficult for everyday people to really understand how can they impact change, how can they really influence it in a positive direction. So that's why we landed on marine litter and plastic pollution, because it definitely connects us every single day. I can almost guarantee it's impossible to go to a grocery store and buy something that doesn't have single-use plastic associated with it.
Yeah.
It's frustrating, isn't it?
It is frustrating.
Things are wrapped in plastic. The boxes are wrapped in plastic. There's plastic inside the boxes. And as a consumer, even that feels hard to figure out, well, how do I tackle this statistic out there, which drives us as a foundation, that there are 300 million metric tons of new plastic produced annually, and of that, less than 10% is recycled. It's huge. It's a massive stat. And there's a lot of things in our environment that when we look at it, we think it's recyclable, like the single-use plastic straw. Most people, I would say, if you quiz them, to say of that, you know, that iced tea, that to-go iced tea that you just bought at a cafe that has the plastic cup, the plastic lid, the plastic straw, is it recyclable? And I would bet that most people would say the entire unit is, and that's false. That's not true. So when we looked at marine litter and we looked at plastic pollution for a way in to create a momentum building movement, we honed in on that plastic straw because for us, it really is the only thing that connects us every single day. So an average of basically 2 used per person in the United States every day, for which there is an easy, implementable today solution for, and that is to refuse it. Just say no. Yes. You don't have to use a single-use plastic straw. You can say no to it.
Okay, so now you know why we have to find alternatives to single-use plastic straws.
Right.
Right? So this is our grand moment for a shameless promotion for some GD glass straws.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen.
Drum roll, please.
We can have a drum roll. Anyone? GD glass straws coming to you.
Yeah, it's timely, and we're really excited. We worked with a company called Strawsome, and their co-founder, Deidre Sirowick, designed a special GD straw just for us. And we're going to be offering it to you at special. Wait for it.
Mm-hmm.
Not one, but two. No,
right.
I'm just kidding.
Yes, there'll be a code number.
Like Ginsu knives, man.
Like GD glass. Give a darn.
Yeah, give a darn glass straws, man.
Yep.
Anyway, we're very excited about that. So we want you to just listen to Deidre talk a little bit about Strawsome and why they're doing what they're doing.
So Brian and I started Strawsome in 2009. I'd always had like a real natural, like I was gravitated to natural things like healthy living, good food and eating, things like that. I switched to like no paper towels. I switched to cloth napkins. And then somebody brought up an idea of having glass straws. And we had friends in our area that actually have a glass blowing studio and they teach how to make things like this. So I took classes. My background is in architecture, so I have an art degree. So I wasn't really using my architecture degree at that point, but I love to design and create. And so when I started making the straws, I just really fell in love with it. And Brian he does web design, so he did our website. And it just all fell into place, and it became like a passion of mine to make a functional piece of art that actually helps the environment and helps people too. You know, it's more than just about the environment. It's also about the people and the world that are ingesting plastics as well. So the reason we make the glass straws, there's a lot of facts coming out now about the plastic straw industry. Actually, I was just reading. I just had a whole bunch of stuff right in front of me that I just came across. There's always new interesting facts that you see out there. A couple of things is if you think about like a restaurant using plastic straws, restaurants throw away 45,000 plastic straws a year. So it's a huge problem. And if they're made, a plastic straw is made in 10 minutes. They're used for about 20 minutes, and then they're just in a landfill forever because they don't biodegrade. They don't go anywhere. A lot of times you'll see them on the ground, and they get washed into waterways, and then they get into our, you know, our oceans, and they're polluting our sea life. And it's a horrible tragedy that, like, turtles, things, they think it's their food, and so they're ingesting it, and then they're eating plastics, and then it's getting into, you know, the whole cycle of life. I have a big heart for, like, environment. I have a big heart for like animals and things like that. So just to think that, like, we teach our kids, when you throw something in the trash, you throw it away, quote unquote away. It's not really going anywhere. And so that's why I try to teach kids of the younger generation, it's not going anywhere. And so as adults, we need to think about that too. You throw it away, there is no way. It's not going to be gone forever. Unless it biodegrades, then it turns back to the earth. But plastics aren't going anywhere. So it's just the overuse of single-use plastics that are, it's just a horrible environment for everything. And another fact, too, is that the plastics also being made, they use more oil than all airplane flights in the world. just to make the plastics in the plastics industry. So it's a huge tax on everything, and just one little tiny straw is, you know, has a big impact.
Wait a minute. Let's back up. I'm still trying to process that. More oil to make plastic straws than all
the whole plastics industry.
Okay.
So you think your forks, you know, your bowls, your anything that's used, the bags, everything. The plastics industry uses more oil than all airplane flights in the world.
That's a lot of oil.
It's a lot of oil. It's a lot of, you know, resources being used. Whereas if you have one straw, whether it's bamboo or glass or stainless steel, you know, if you're using it over and over again, you're not throwing it away every single time. You can take it with you to a restaurant. You can refuse the plastic straws when you're out because it's more than just throwing it away. You're also ingesting plastic into your body. You know, some people that are trying to heal themselves of cancers and being sick and things like that, they stay away from all plastic because they know it's full of chemicals that are just going to make you sicker.
Mm. Wowza.
Yeah, totally wowza.
So tell me a little bit about the program, and we'll tell our audience about the program that you've designed that the Green Divas are participating in with our beautiful straw. And people, you are going to want one of these.
Yeah. We have a couple of different programs where we work with, like, nonprofit organizations, community-based organizations, where we'll actually design a straw that is named like yours, like the Green Diva straw. So it's yours, it's named yours, it's on our website, and then we give back to the organization based on people who buy. So you're using your dollar to give back to organizations when you purchase from our website. You know, another example is we have one, actually quite a few, that both give back to, you know, animals. And so we give back to, you know, a certain organization that helps with marine life that way. There's whale one, we have a penguin one, we have frogs, you know, helping all kinds of life in the world that needs it, you know.
And Green Divas, because apparently we need it.
Yeah.
And we do, and we do,
hey.
And we love right. and appreciate what you're doing, and we're really excited to get more glass straws and more understanding about why we need glass straws out there. We have to get responsible. We have to get out there and clean up the beaches and our waterways. And, you know, there are other organizations. It was interesting. Dune talked about 25,000 or thereabouts organizations that are trying to help clean up the oceans. But, you know, here's just a couple of ones that we know of and we have worked with and have really enjoyed working with.
We have Surf Rider Foundation. They're definite champions of surf and sand. They have a lot of education programs for children and adults, and they work to clean up the beaches. And they're working on plastics to get plastics out. And this year was one of their, you know, big projects, and to just educate and protect the shorelines and to protect the sea creatures and us humans, quite frankly, because we're you know, while it's really horrific that these the mammal, you know, that marine life is eating plastics, we're also eating plastics because of that. But and cleaning up the beach is essential, and Surf Rider really works to do that. So it's a wonderful organization. You can find them on the internet.
You know, and there's clever for-profit organizations that are coming up with creative ways to repurpose plastic. And TerraCycle just recently won a United Nations award for their work. They partnered with Procter & Gamble to recycle beach plastic, turning it into Head & Shoulders bottles. I mean, you know, it's very commercial, but why not?
Right.
And I like that concept. And why not use that plastic for something else that doesn't have to be remade with oil, more oil, making new plastic?
Yeah, there's a lot of oil being used to make plastic. It's a double, you know, whammy, as they say, because quite honestly, you know, we big oil wants it that way, and so far it's that way. But we can change things because we're becoming hopefully smarter about, you know, our environment and what we need to do to help.
Right. And let's face it, plastic's not going anywhere, so we have to rethink how we use it, and can we reuse it as a resource of sorts?
And the answer is yes, we can.
Right. So one other organization that I learned about a few years ago is All One Ocean. which is a project of Earth Island Institute. They are a volunteer organization. They volunteer to clean up beaches, and they do educational programs with kids and adults. But I spoke with their founder, Hallie Austin Eichelhart, who created Beach Cleanup Stations.
So over the years, I thought of the idea of the Beach Cleanup Station, which is a small wooden box with educational signage, because some people don't know about it. It's not that they don't care. They don't know about this situation. And it's real friendly. It has kids' art on it and a game and what sea creature thanks you for how much trash you pick up. And inside are repurposed coffee bean bags so that anybody can pick up the trash, making every day beach cleanup day. And it's also appropriate for rivers and lakes, anywhere that there's water. And now we've also been asked to put them in schoolyards. Actually, the students and the parents do it together, but they're using our model to create school cleanup stations to start teaching the kids to take care of their environment and at an early age to be responsible for our consumption, because 80% of the trash in the ocean comes from land.
All right, so let's close this with some poetic words, or wise words, as it were. I'm going to read something that were remarks at a dinner for the America's Cup cruise, spoken by John F. Kennedy in 1962. I really don't know why it is that all of us are so committed to the sea, except I think it's because, in addition to the fact that the sea changes, and the light changes, and ships change, it's because we all come from the sea. And it is an interesting biological fact that all of us have in our veins the exact same percentage of salt in our blood that exists in the ocean. And therefore, we have salt in our blood, in our sweat, in our tears. We are tied to the ocean. And when we go back to the sea, whether it is to sail or to watch it, we are going back from whence we came.
Naira Wahid. It starts with the quote, "If the ocean can calm itself, so can you. We are both salt water mixed with air." But to end on a more interesting note, because Dave Barry wrote this one, and he's kind of a funny guy, but he also is a wonderful observer of life. And though he's funny, he observes things amazingly. And he wrote, "There's nothing wrong with enjoying looking at the surface of the ocean itself, except that when you finally see what goes on underwater, you realize that you've been missing the whole point of the ocean. Staying on the surface all the time is like going to the circus and staring at the outside of the tent."
This is James Cromwell, and you've been fortunate enough to be listening to 50 Shades of Green Divas, a wonderful program you should support. Thank you.
You've been listening to the 50 Shades of Green, a collaborative gig between the Green Divas and the Many Shades of Green radio shows. Happily recorded at Green Diva Studio. Be sure to look for this and other Green Diva Network podcasts and The Many Shades of Green on iHeartRadio, iTunes, SoundCloud, Spreaker, and Stitcher, among other places. You can find more information about this show and much more on thegreendivas.com.